Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio Land. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger DJ. Southeast Vince coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show. And if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Well, hidey-ho, everybody. Hope today finds you doing well. Once again, this is your local Blog Talk Radio personality, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from the place called Durham, North Carolina. And if you would like to call in to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will have to remind you, please be aware of the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. If you come in here and you want to indulge in gaslighting, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, insults, trolling, things of that sort, anything in a attempt to disrupt this program, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay, you don't, when you're having a discussion with somebody, that does not mean that you have the right to be disrespectful. Okay, I understand that we all have different points of view. We don't always agree, you know, we're not always going to agree, but that does not give you the right to disrespect another person. And if you want to indulge in those type of activities when you call into the show, I'd advise you to hang up immediately. Because if you indulge in that type of activity, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye, which means I will hang up on you. Okay. Now, we're all adults here. And we can act like adults. Okay. Now, you might have a point of view that you are just adamant about and whatever, but you need to slow your horses, slow down your anxiety, and learn to show respect to those who don't think like you do. Okay? And another thing, this is my program. This is my program. So I reserve the right to, if I want to make a point of whatever, I reserve that right to cut in and say, hey, you know, I reserve that right. So if you come in here and you're like, well, he won't let me talk. Well, you're on my program. Okay. You know, but the door respect swings both ways. And I'm going to try to show you as much respect as is possible, But just come here with an attitude of respect. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. You know, just come in here, you know, be and try to be agreeable, okay? Don't come here being a jerk or, as I like to say, a fruit bat. But anyway, yeah, it's been 2 weeks since I've last done a show, since I last done a program. And last week, my wife and I, my wife, myself, one of my wife's friends and her friend's two boys, we went out to the NC State Fair. And one of the main reasons why I was out there at the fair, because I entered a photo into the contest out there. And it's something I'm going to try to do every year, you know, enter a photo, because I'm supposed to be sharpening my photo skills, you know. And basically, I'm doing that because, you know, I want to see what everybody else is offering and how to, you know, increase my, you know, improve on my photo skills. And a picture I entered this year, I knew it wasn't going to win, but I said, you know what, I'm just going to enter it anyway because, you know, got this picture or whatever, and it didn't. And I've entered three photos into the contest at the fair, and none of them have gotten ribbons or anything like that. So apparently there's a lot for me to learn. So I know some people might think that taking pictures is just pointing and shooting and everything. No, it's an art to it. You know, you gotta know how much light to let in and how fast your camera speed is and things like that if you really want a good photo. You know, so. But anyway, I'm not here to talk about photographs or anything like that. Let me fire up my Gab page. You can find me at on Gab, Southeast Vince at Southeast _ Vince. And you'll get my Gab page. And I want to use my Gab page as a place where to store all the current events that I learn about during the week. So I have a place to glean off of. I can go there and say, okay, I got this listed, boom, 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 and whatever. So that's what I want to do with the Gab page. Gab is a great place to go, and don't believe the people that Gab is full of racists and conservative zealots and stuff like that. You know, Gab allows everybody in, and they leave it up to the posters whether to cut somebody off or not. Gab won't do that like they used to do with Twitter, but I'm learning that Twitter has been taken over by Elon Musk, and Elon is starting to kick out all those people who wanted to do all the, you know, basically all the Trump haters, basically, you know, because Trump is mean and Trump posts mean tweets and we don't like his mean tweets. So we're going to ban him for a lifetime from Twitter. And from what I heard, I don't think Donald Trump is going to come back to Twitter. A lot of people who have been banned from Twitter, they, you know, they'll be allowed to come back. But Donald Trump already has a website called Truth. I think it's Truth Network or something like that. It's something like that. I'm part of that too, but you know, that's how it is with Twitter now. So Twitter will probably start to equalize now. So, but anyway, and you can find me on Gab. I'm on Spreely, MeWe, Minds, Clout Hub, Getter, Parler. I'm on all those. You know. I haven't been keeping them up like I want to, you know, because, you know, you have busy days and whatever, stuff like that. But I'm hopefully in the future I can get up to speed with those. But here on Gab, on my page, I might be a little late to this dance right here, but this is just an example of what we are facing in the country today. You know, the powers that be, they are out there telling us that, you know, America is a systemic racist nation and that America wants to hold back, you know, the progress of blacks and indigenous peoples and things like that. And they act as if blacks and Indians and darker skinned people and Hispanics and everything, that they are innocent victims and that white people just pick on them for no reason at all. You know, just pick a person at random and just want to pick on them, you know, but they choose to ignore what is actually going on in this country. Now, before I go into this article, like I said, last week I was at the fair and I posted a video to my Facebook, and that's another platform I'm on. I posted a live video on my Facebook last week, and I was showing people the fair. And the first time I went to the North Carolina State Fair was in 1994. So it's going on about 30 years, but I haven't gone every single year. But every time I go to the fair, one thing that I understand or notice is the diversity at the fair. Okay, now, we keep hearing people say, you know, we're a systemic racist country. But I didn't see that at the fair last week. What I saw at the fair last week was I saw mixed families, black and white families out there. Mixed families of black and white out there. I even saw a couple of families that had white folks and they were carrying black children with them. Saw a lot of Asians, Indian folks out there. Some people were dressed in their Hindu garb and everything and stuff like that. And I was looking around and I said, now, this right here is a microcosm of what America really is. And basically what I was doing was trying to show people, you know, look around here. Do you see any systemic racism here? You have black people and white people in line to get on the same rides. Some of them got on the rides together. They didn't have no colored lines and black lines or anything like that. But we all, excuse me, but we allow ourselves to be overcome by the rhetoric, the narrative that this country is a racist country. Now, I don't see that when I go to certain venues, when I go to the mall, when I go out to eat, when I go to the fair, you know, everywhere I go, I don't see the systemic racism that people are always bloviating about. Never see it. When I go to the store, I pay the same price a white person does. I get charged the same price. I get charged the same tax on the items that the white person does. There's no meter up there saying, okay, this is a black person, so let's make him pay a few more cents in tax because he's black. And sometimes when I go to the store, my checkout person might be black. My checkout person might be white. Yesterday it was a white woman who was very friendly, she was very cordial, very professional. And I'm not saying that I don't get that with black folks, because whenever I've gone into the line and my checkout person was black, I've been given the same treatment, you know, the same cordial treatment. And I was telling my wife last night, no, not my wife. I was telling a friend of mine on the phone last night. I said, What we're seeing in America today is the absence of common sense. A lot of people don't care about using common sense anymore. All they care about is going along the lines of their feelings. They allow certain triggers to set the course for their emotions, which is why a lot of people always jump on a bandwagon when they hear about a white cop killing a black person. They jump on it and say, oh, he killed that person because he was black. But they don't have a thought process. Their feelings have overtaken their critical thinking. And they don't sit there and say, well, what was that black person doing? They don't care what that black person was doing. All they care about is that that black person died at the hands of a white cop. So that means that white cop is a racist, a member of the Ku Klux Klan, Aryan Nation, white supremacist. And then, you know, you have their lapdogs. You got the lapdogs of our government called the news media. They will only report on certain stories. They'll only report on certain stories. Now, if it's a black person killing a black person, the only time you're really going to hear about that is if it's a local incident. But a white person kills a black person, and it sweeps the nation. And so what that has done, it has produced an illusion that America is a racist nation. You got people that still say, oh, the cops are killing so many black people, when they are not killing black people. They probably kill less than 20 black people every year. But we think it's an epidemic. They're genociding the black race. They're decimating the black race. They're trying to kill us. They're trying to kill us. Every day they're trying to kill us. And then we hear the LeBron Jameses, and then we hear the Al Sharptons and all those people. And we give our ear to these people without realizing these people are a bunch of charlatans who are out there. They are benefiting from this so-called systemic racist country. These people are millionaires. And we sitting there giving our ear to them. They are benefiting off the system, but they are sitting there criticizing the very system that benefits them. And a lot of us don't sit there and say, wait a minute, LeBron, you're a millionaire. What do you mean they are hunting black people down? We have seen your face for around 20 years now. We know what you look like. Now, if they're hunting down black people, then you should be one of the first ones that they hunt down and kill. Same thing with Al Sharpton. But a lot of these people, they get out here and they talk this garbage because they know it benefits them in the long run. And they themselves don't put out a hand to actually help out the people they say that are being oppressed. They live in their nice homes. They live in their gated communities. They dress up real nice and everything. But they never do anything to help out the so-called oppressed. And the sad thing about it is critical thinking is a rare species in this country, because a lot of us don't use it. We don't utilize critical thinking skills to get answers about what is going on around us. We don't use it to get answers of our environment or whatever. We just go by feelings. There are people that still believe that Michael Brown said, "Hands up, don't shoot." There are people that still believe that to this day. I was watching a video from one of those Black Hebrew Israelite groups, which is full of fruit bats. And they said that Michael Brown said, "Don't shoot, I don't have a gun." He did not say that. But a lot of you all, and I really do believe that there is a collective effort by certain people to believe what they want to believe. They believe what they want to believe. Their belief system is selective. If what they believe goes along their mode of thinking, they'll believe it. If what is told them goes along their mode of thinking, they'll believe it. But if it doesn't go along with their mode of thinking, they look at it with suspicion because, hey, This is not what I'm used to hearing. This is not what I'm used to saying. So they look at it with suspicion, and they'll even deny that the truth is not actually occurring because the truth doesn't go along with their belief system. And now we're about to go into the midterms. A lot of people are up for, you know, election and everything. They sending out those election brochures. I'm sick of that mess. Don't tell me who to vote for. Don't tell me who I should be voting for. I don't want you to tell me. I don't want you reminding me that I need to vote, because I'll make that decision myself. You don't tell me what I need to do, because a lot of the people out there who are telling you to vote, they kind of cut their sentences short. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. They say, all right, y'all, get out there and vote. Get out there and vote. You got to vote. You got to vote. You got to vote. But basically what they're saying is, you got to vote for my candidate. Vote for my candidate. If you're black, you better vote for the right candidate. That's basically what they are saying. Because a lot of the people that I see telling us to get out there and vote, 80% of the time, it's a liberal Democrat. Especially see this going on in the black neighborhoods. All right, y'all, get out there and vote. Get out there and vote. Get out there and vote. You know, your vote is your voice. No, my voice is my voice. My vote doesn't tell you the reason why I voted for this person. All my vote tells you is that I did vote for this person. And see, that's the problem. Because a lot of people, when they encounter a person like myself and the way I think, they think somebody has brainwashed me into thinking the way I do. No, you don't know why I voted for so-and-so. You might think I voted for so-and-so because, you know, I got some messed up idea or whatever, but you don't know why I voted for this person. And it really does bother me with this, you know, get out there and vote, get out there and vote. I remember the last time I voted 2 years ago in the 2020 election. Where I vote at, it's a community center in a project area here in Durham, North Carolina. It's less than a mile from where I live. And I love voting there because I never get into a long line. I'm in and out within 15 minutes. And so every year I go up there, there's always someone standing outside a polling place, and they have a poll showing how certain black people voted for certain candidates. And they want to give you this as a guide on how you should be voting because you're black. Person came up to me the last time and he was about to give me one. I said, look here, I already know who I'm going to vote for. I don't need anyone telling me who I need to vote for. I already know who I'm going to vote for. And really, be honest with you, with these polling places, I would make that illegal. I really would. Now, if you want to do that, you know, out and about, wherever you go, that's fine. But outside of polling place, this is not the place for it. And, folks, I'm just speaking my point of view. Now, if you don't have a problem with it, I ain't got no problem with you thinking that. But I really do think they need to make that illegal because, look, you're not going to influence my vote. Someone sent something in the mail to me, and they say, make a plan to vote. Make a plan to vote. What? How do you make a plan to vote? You see the candidates. You see what they stand for. And you go to the voting place, and you vote for the best candidate. That's how you vote. But, you know, Barack Obama, he's the one that started that mess. Make a plan to vote. Let me be clear. You need to make a plan to vote. And please vote for the candidate that I support. Now, I love Joe Biden. He's about as dense as a pound of lead, but I trust him. So you need to vote for Joe. All together now. Yo, Joe. Come on now. Yo, Joe. Now, how do you make a plan to vote? You just get up and you go to the polling place. And stuff like this just, you know, it gets my goat. And some of y'all might be listening. You'd be like, well, why does that bother you? Well, it does. It does. Because I feel like people are trying to influence me on how I should vote. No, you're not going to influence me on how I should vote. If I'm going to the polling place, I've already made up my mind how I am going to vote. So there's no need for you to come up and put them flyers in my face telling me how black people voted, you know, how black people of Durham voted for this candidate. We got a group here called the Durham Association for the Advancement of Black People in this, and I can guarantee you, I know some of them people personally, and some of them are black people that you'll see in so-called Christian churches shouting hallelujah, talking about don't speak negative, you got to speak positive. I'm living in the overflow. But these same people will cast their vote for people who don't believe like they do. Now, what am I saying? These people will sit there and they will tell you that they are against abortion, but then they'll go to the polls and vote for a person who supports abortion. They'll sit there and tell you, oh, homosexuality is a sin. The Bible says it's a sin. But then they go to the polls and they vote for people who support homosexuality and transgenderism and the LGBTQIA, XYZ, LMNOP, whatever they call themselves. So-called Christian people, church people. And see, me, I like to observe. I like to look around and see what's going on. And I see people, I'm like, wait a minute, in church you were like this, but outside church you're something different. They'll listen to preachers. They'll listen to preachers that tell you that abortion is wrong, that homosexuality is a sin. But they'll go to the polls and vote for what the Bible clearly says is sin, is wrong. And then they'll go back and sit up under that preacher that they're not even listening to. Now, something is wrong there, people. That's one of the main reasons why the church that I attended for 26 years here in Durham, that's one of the main reasons why I left that church. Because the people, the pastor was preaching against homosexuality. He was preaching against abortion. But probably 80 or 90% of the people in the congregation, they didn't listen to him. They go to the polls and they vote for the same people that support the very things that they say they don't believe in. And not only that, the pastor himself didn't come out and say, okay, some of you all in here, y'all phonies, because I get up here and I talk about, you know, homosexuality is a sin and abortion is wrong, and you all still go to them polls. Okay, I tell you what. You all are not going to be ministers in this church. Nah, he don't do that. Because I know several people up there who are ministers in this church that voted for Barack Obama. Now, he says he's against abortion, but he still put people in the ministry, had them preach their initial sermons, still voted for people who support the very things that he preaches against. And he still makes them minister because, you know, he's all caught up in their charisma and everything. Oh, I listened to that brother. Oh, man, he can preach. But check it out. The devil can preach, too. You gonna listen to the devil for advice? The devil can preach too. There's a scripture in the Bible, in the book of James. It says, you believe there's one God. Okay, you're doing good. But guess what? The devils believe too, but they tremble. But a lot of people, you know, they get these positions of leadership in a church simply based on their charisma, not based on what they actually believe. I don't know how I got off on that. Somebody probably needed to hear that. But Christians are supposed to be set apart from everybody else. People are supposed to see a difference in us. The Bible says that we are a light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. Don't light your candle and put it under a bushel. But you know what? A lot of, and I'm talking about you black Christians out there. A lot of you all march lockstep with the black folks in the Democrat Party. Because your skin color matters more to you than standing up for what is right. Your skin color matters to you more than saving millions of unborn babies. Your skin color matters to you more than you speaking up against transgenderism and what they're trying to do to our children in the schools. You might sit there and say, well, I don't believe in that. I don't believe it. No. When you voted for that person, you show who you believe in. You just voted for this person because they're going to help black people get an advantage. This person cares about black people. He cares about black because I'm black and, you know, I'm tired of the white man putting me down, and the white man ain't putting you down. You're putting yourself down, but you just want to use that as an excuse. I was on my job every Thursday and Friday. The guy comes into the warehouse to help me out, you know, for the end of the week and everything, get some inventory and stuff like that. And this guy, he's a big white guy, 24 years old. And he was telling me he was at the fair, I think the week before I was. And he said he brushed up against a black woman. And she stood to his face and called him a cracker. I said, really? I said, yeah, she told it to my face, all because I brushed up against her. I said, now, if it had been the other way around, there'd be lawsuits, news reports. It'll go across the, this man called this black woman the N-word. But he said he just bumped into her. And folks, when you come to the North Carolina State Fair, let me tell you something. If you don't brush up on somebody or bump into somebody, you're not at the fair. Because every year I've gone, it has been crowded. Shoulder to shoulder. But the only reason why that woman called him that, because she knew he couldn't say anything back. You cracker. All right, you stupid N-word. Oh, that would have been wrong. Because we care more about our skin color than we do about doing what is right. And I guarantee you, that woman who bumped into him, she probably says she believes the Bible. She probably, you know, probably be in church on Sunday shouting and yelling and oh yeah and hallelujah, thank you Jesus and all that. But she can't take something as simple as a white man bumping into her. And folks, let me tell you all something. And I say it all the time on this show. I say it ad nauseum, and I'm going to keep on saying it. Black people can be just as racist as white people. Matter of fact, the most racist people I have seen in this country hasn't been white people. It's been black folks. But anyway, let me go to a story that you all probably have never heard. You ever notice sometimes when a breaking story comes out, you know, they got a shooter, you know, oh, there's someone shooting people. And it takes them a while to show their pictures. And 9 times out of 10, it's usually a black person because they don't want to be seen as being racist. I think Pianki is in my queue, and I'm going to get him on. But I want him to answer the question. I want him to answer the question. They had a shooting in St. Louis this week. I think it was this week. 2 people got killed. Now, I've never seen the picture of the shooter. And when I pulled Pianki on, I want him to tell me, has he seen a picture of the shooter? Because 9 times out of 10, when something happens like this and they don't show you the shooter or the murderer or whoever it is, 9 times out of 10, it's a black person. They did that with Daryl Brooks last year in Waukesha, Wisconsin. I don't know how to pronounce that. They did that with him. We had a shooting in Raleigh, and I'm pretty sure you all heard about it. You know, 5 people got killed in Raleigh a couple of weeks ago. And they described the shooter as a white teenager. But see, if it had been a black person, they would say, oh, it was just a teenager. And folks, when I watch the news, you know, I watch it with a fine tooth. Hello, can y'all hear me? Hoping you guys can hear me. Hello. Uh-oh. Can you hear me? I need a go, no go on my voice. For some reason, Skype cut me off again. Okay, I think Skype is on. Okay. All right. Now I done lost my train of thought. Skype cut off for some reason. I don't know why, but I've lost my train of thought. But I was talking about, you know, how the news media, they'll show you certain things. They'll describe a white person who shoots up a bunch of people, but they won't describe the black person. They'll just let you see the picture, and usually it takes them a while before you get a picture of that assailant. You know, like I said, the shooting in Raleigh a couple of weeks ago, they were like, it was a white teen that was responsible for the shootings. But at Waukesha, I don't know how to pronounce that, the name of that town in Wisconsin. They didn't describe the assailant as a black person, which he was. He was a black person. And, you know, just the other day, he got convicted on all counts. And I think he's going to be having a very comfortable time in jail for the rest of his life, which he should be. But I wanted to pull up this story. I'm pretty sure most of us haven't heard. And I got this from Yahoo News. And folks, don't criticize me for going to Yahoo and getting news and everything. Look, I can go anywhere. Look, I'm not a person who falls for these traps, okay? So, but let me pull this up. Excuse me. I don't know why it's taking a while for this story to come up. Bear with me. Do this again. Let me try it again. All right. Here we go. This comes from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. This is an incident in Plano, Texas. And this is dated October the 18th, 2022. So that wasn't too long ago. 2 days after my birthday. But anyway, it says, 2 young men from Fort Worth accused in a brawl that started over selling candy at a Hooters restaurant in Plano and left multiple people injured were arrested Monday, and a search continued for a third suspect, police said. The three Fort Worth men faced charges of assault in the October 6th incident, which started after employees asked children to leave the restaurant after they had attempted to sell candy there, police said in a news release. Videos of the incident have gone viral. Plano police identified one arrested suspect as Jeremiah Powell, 19, of Fort Worth. He faces charges of assault with bodily injury and riot participation and is being held on a $60,000 bond. The other arrested suspect is Tony Marshall, 20, of Fort Worth, who faces charges of assault with bodily injury, two counts of an aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and robbery. He is being held on a $160,000 bond in the Collin County Jail. An arrest warrant has been issued for Jay Powell, 19, of Fort Worth, and charges him with aggravated assault, police said. On Tuesday, Plano officials thanked residents who provided private messages and tips regarding the identity of the suspects. Additional information received from the residents advised that this group was involved in similar activities across Dallas-Fort Worth area and that several of these incidents required a police response, Plano police said in a Tuesday news release. The Plano incident was reported about 7 p.m. on October 6th at Hooters restaurant in the 700 block of North Central Expressway. When they arrived, Plano police officers observed a broken front window to the restaurant and multiple injured victims. During a preliminary investigation, police determined that four juvenile males had entered the restaurant to sell candy. According to the management, the same individuals had been to the business in the past and had been asked to leave and complied without incident. On this occasion, the juvenile males became upset and began causing a disturbance inside the restaurant. Hooters management requested the juvenile males to leave and were trying to escort them out of the business with the assistance of several victims' witnesses, Plano police said. Once outside, the juvenile males began hitting the glass windows of the restaurant. Three adult males appeared and began assaulting the manager and a customer outside of the restaurant. At the end of the assault, one of the adult males picked up what appeared to be a cigarette disposal stand and shattered the front window to the business, Plano police said in the news release. Flying glass shards caused additional injuries to victims inside the restaurant. The suspects then fled the scene prior to officers' arrival in a black Buick Encore. Video was obtained from employees and customers, and two such videos have been posted to social media. Now, I want you all to guess the skin color of the perpetrators. Just make an honest guess at what color, at what their skin color was. These were black folks. These were black folks. Now, you didn't hear this news across the country. Now, if it had been the other way around, oh my goodness, we got white supremacists. Oh, the Ku Klux Klan has visited our town. Oh my goodness. Let's pull up their sleeves and see the Aryan Nation tattoos on their arms. Now I'm sitting here looking at a picture of them. Two black dudes beating down this white employee, and neither one of them wearing a shirt. So, you know, if you can't tell that they're black. But neither one of them wearing a shirt. coming into a restaurant. Now, why are you going to try to sell candy in a place called Hooters anyway? I mean, come on, think about that. But see, these people, they feel like they're privileged. Oh, I'm black. I can do whatever I want to. Excuse me, you all need to get out of there. You all need to get out of here. This is not the place for that. You want to sell candy off of the property? That's fine, but you can't come in here and sell it. Oh, what do you mean we can't sell candy in here? You know, we're black. Get back, okay? When we sell this candy, you see the color of this candy? Matches our skin color. So this candy represents us, and you don't want no candy, so you're disrespecting us. Oh, let's get my big brother in here. Let's get some of the adults in here. I just attempted to add a little humor to that, but you know, but that's how a lot of these black animals act, like they're privileged. Like you can't touch this. Deuce here. You know, y'all ever seen that movie South Central? Deuce is here. You can't touch me because I'm black. I'll get you charged I'll bring up charges of racism against you and all this crazy mess. And anyone in their right mind knows you don't go into a franchise like a Hooters or McDonald's or Bojangles or whatever to sell some candy. And they said these juveniles have been here before trying to do that. Were you coming in there to sell? Now, I told you once before, I don't want you in here selling candy, okay? The rules haven't changed for you. You still do not need, you should not be coming in here selling candy. But they're going to try it anyway. But see, they have some backup this time. But we don't hear about this, you know, oh, black people, we're just innocent people, you know, we don't do anything wrong. We don't commit crimes. We're not criminals. We don't commit the crimes like the white man does. And while I'm on that, I should have gotten that soundbite from Whoopi Goldberg the other day. Whoopi Goldberg said one of the stupidest things I think I ever heard in my life. Whoopi Goldberg, she's one of them sirens on the View. She's one of the cackling hens on the View. She, you know, I think Ted Cruz was on the program. And she was like, Ted Cruz was handling them. He was handling them. And she gets up and she makes a statement, and I'm not going to say it verbatim, but she was basically saying that when liberal Democrats have a problem with somebody, they don't resort to violence like the conservatives do. I'm like, girlfriend is out of touch with reality. I don't think she understands what's going on, but once again, I think it's a selective belief system. She doesn't want to believe that. We went through 4 years of violence after Donald Trump got elected as president. The day after his inauguration, that so-called musical artist, Madonna, gets up talking about, you know, I've had, you know, dreams of blowing up the White House. And these people were knocking out windows, burning down businesses, but oh no, liberal Democrats. We don't resort to violence. We do it the right way. We go through the courts. We challenge them in the court. No, you don't. No, you don't. Stop lying. But that's the same sentiment that they have with black folks. Oh, we black people, we don't resort to violence. It's the white man. The white man is the barbarian. Now, look at history and all this crazy mess. Innocent victims. No, you're not. You're the victimizers. But we tend to ignore it. We turn away. We say, oh, I didn't hear about that. I didn't hear about that. As if because you didn't hear about this, that it didn't happen. And see, once again, critical thinking skills are absent. You sit there, you want to believe what you want to believe. You believe with your feelings, but you don't use critical thinking skills to deduce the environment around you. You believe what you want to believe. White police officer kills a black person. Oh, you want to believe that that white police officer is a member of the KKK. So you say, he's a member of the KKK. How many of y'all heard about Marco Rubio canvasser getting attacked this week? I went to one site. They said the person who was attacked was a known white supremacist. I saw the picture of the man. He didn't look like he was a white supremacist to me. He looked Hispanic. But they said he was a known white supremacist. And they were basically saying, oh, he got what he deserved because he's a white supremacist. A few days later, here comes, Nancy Pelosi. Paul Pelosi, I think that's his name, Paul Pelosi, her husband. Oh, he gets attacked by an assailant who beat him with a hammer and fractured his skull. Now, have any of you all seen a picture of Paul Pelosi after that attack? I know I haven't. It said he was attacked by a man who was a nudist. Said he sneaked into their home. Attacked Paul Pelosi. And then they said this man was a MAGA supporter, but some people did some journalism, and they went to the man's house, and what do they see at the man's house? They see a gay pride flag, and they see a sign that says Black Lives Matter. Now, tell me that's a MAGA supporter. And I believe that attack, so-called attack, I'm suspicious about it. I believe it occurred to get our minds off of what happened earlier this week with that Marco Rubio canvasser. And of course we're getting close to midterms. Funny how this stuff just pops up out of nowhere. But you know what the liberal Democrats are doing, even though they don't believe in God? Oh, our thoughts and prayers go out to Nancy Pelosi's husband. Let's pray for a speedy recovery. Let that happen to a Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz or something like that. Prayers. Prayers. Oh, I thought you were Christian. Prayers. I'll pray that he dies. That's the only prayer you'll get from him. I'll pray that he dies. I hope he dies. Lord, make this man die. Because a lot of you all listening right now who support the liberal Democrats, I guarantee you, you are hoping in your heart, and you know you are, you hoping. You're just waiting for the news that Donald Trump has passed away. And you're going to be out in the streets celebrating. Celebrate good times. Come on. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why I'm suspicious about this attack is because have you all seen Nancy Pelosi's home? So you think this homosexual nudist gonna find a way to break into that house just like a common burglar? I mean, just, you know, yeah, I got in there. Yeah, okay. That's why I think this is a setup. And once again, the reason why I think like that is because I'm using critical thinking skills. Something here don't sound right to me. It just don't sound right. And by the way, Nancy Pelosi's husband should have done some time, because earlier this year, he was caught driving drunk, ran his car off the road, ran into another car. Let that have been a Ted Cruz. He would have done some time. I'm just saying, folks. Now, if you disagree with me, that's fine. But I'm just laying it out how I see it. See, I don't have no... See, like I said, I like to use critical thinking skills. And it's because of these critical thinking skills why I believe that the 2020 election was stolen. Skills that have me suspicious about what actually happened with Mr. Pelosi. I don't just sit there and just believe what I want to believe. I use critical thinking skills. And no, the white man hasn't taken away my critical thinking skills. Because some of you all might be out there like, well, I can't think critically because the white man took it from me. But anyway, I am coming to the end of the first hour. Let me get here to my advertisements. And when I come back, I will, I think I'm going to go on and read another article, and I will get to your phone calls. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
Did you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless. If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. And see what happens then, where America always wins. Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
All right, all right. Welcome to the second hour of the program. Glad to have you guys here. And like I said, if you like to call in, that's the call-in number 646-478-5284. And let me say something before I continue. I see him in the chat room right now, Sarge. I think Sarge needs to have some type of televised program or something like that, you know, because Sarge, this dude, he comes out here and he's like Niagara Falls. He's like a Niagara Falls of common sense. Him and Pianchi, oh my gosh, they come here. Pianchi gives me so many news stories on my Facebook page and in my email. It's like I can't even handle it all. And these dudes, they're black gentlemen, and they know what they're talking about. They know exactly what they're talking about, and this is why they come on this show, and I give them free time to talk, because a lot of what they're saying, we need to know this. But really, I think Sarge needs his own show. I really do. I can see him the Sarge show or Sarge the Sarge app or something like that. And, you know, once he gets that going, he can stop coming here and leeching off of my show, you know. But I'm just kidding, Sarge. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't want you to give me that tongue lash, man, I tell you. But all jokes aside, I really do think Sarge should go, you know, do a televised program, you know, have some special guests like Pianchi and Vincent Brown and Iredale Harris and Retta Washington and all those on there. That'd be exciting. But, you know, that's just a suggestion. That's all that is. Earlier this week, the aforementioned Retta Washington, she sometimes comes on this show. She was showing me, you know, the certain icons that have been done away with in the past couple of years. She was showing me the Cream of Wheat Man, the Land of Lakes Lady, the Uncle Ben's, and who's the other one? Uncle Ben's, Cream of Wheat, and Aunt Jemima, you know. And it's sad that stuff has taken place, and once again, critical thinking kicks in, you know. And I came up with a new term for the woke crowd: accomplishing things that the white supremacists could only dream of. Now, you know, if a white supremacist is in the grocery store and he sees a picture of Uncle Ben, he probably won't even buy the rice, because I don't want to buy that rice because I see that black man on there. Or the Cream of Wheat or anything. Now that Cream of Wheat thing is very tragic for me, because I remember growing up with Cream of Wheat, and that smiling rascal looking back at me with that bowl of Cream of Wheat, you know, it's almost like he was talking to me, like, yeah, I hope you enjoy that. I made that just for you, you know. And let me pull up this article, and after that I'm gonna go to the phones, because I got three people in my queue. And this comes from themix.net. Let me get it up here. Themix.net. Now, this is an article from 2 years ago. And so I'm a little late to the party, but I still think it's relevant for today. Aunt Jemima's great-grandson is furious that her legacy is being erased. After Quaker Foods announced its rebranding, the great-grandson of the real Aunt Jemima expressed his fury that cancel culture is erasing her legacy. Wait a minute, Quaker Foods? Ain't that the same Quaker that has that white guy with the funny hat on the box of oatmeal? Y'all ever wonder about that? Why are we getting rid of all the black faces, but we still see the white faces? We still see the brawny man? We still see little Debbie. We still see Chef Boyardee. Y'all ever wonder about that? Yesterday, we reported that Quaker Foods caved to calls to cancel Aunt Jemima. I did not know Aunt Jemima was owned by Quaker. And that the brand will be renamed. Now, the great-grandson of the real Aunt Jemima Anna Short Harrington is speaking out to express his anger and disappointment that her legacy is being erased. This is an injustice for me and my family. This is part of my history, sir, Larnell Evans Sr. told Patch. The racism they talk about using images from slavery, that comes from the other side, white people. This company profits off images of our slavery, and their answer is to erase my great-grandmother's history, a black female. It hurts. Former enslaved woman Nancy Green debuted the first Aunt Jemima at the Chicago's World Fair in 1893. Green was a cook who worked in the south side of the city. She was hired to wear a headscarf and an apron while serving pancakes to those visiting the fair. She continued to portray the character of Aunt Jemima until her death in 1923. Evans said his grandmother, Anna Short Harrington, took her place. Harrington worked as a cook for Syracuse University fraternities where members loved her pancakes. Now, let me tell you, Syracuse is not a black university, and it wasn't black back then. She was discovered by a Quaker Foods representative while serving her pancakes at the New York State Fair in 1935. Quaker Foods hired her immediately and used Harrington's likeness on products and advertising while also sending her all over the nation to serve her pancakes dressed as Aunt Jemima, making her a national celebrity in the process. She worked for that Quaker Oats for 20 years. She traveled all the way around the United States and Canada making pancakes as Aunt Jemima for them, Evans said. This woman served all those people, and it was after slavery. She worked as Aunt Jemima. That was her job. How do you think I feel as a black man sitting here telling you about my family history they're trying to erase? Evans, a 66, probably 68-year-old veteran of the U.S. Marines who lives on disability, said that Quaker Foods also used Harrington's pancake recipe. Her descendants tried to sue the company for $3 billion for not paying them royalties in 2014, but they lost the case. Evans said that Quaker Foods should admit that the images of slavery as well as the likeness of Green and Harrington rather than erasing them from shelves completely. Some folks are like-minded and share their thoughts. The white people who erase black history, and they show some Twitter posts and whatever. How many white people were raised looking at characters like Aunt Jemima at breakfast every morning, he said. How many white corporations made all them profits and didn't give us a dime? I think they should have to look at it. They can't just wipe it out while we still suffer after making all that money. And now's the time when black people are saying we want restitution for slavery. They're just going to erase history like it didn't happen. Evans added, they're not going to give us nothing. What gives them the right? But Quaker Foods has announced that Aunt Jemima imagery and branding will be removed from all products by the end of the year. Basically, you know, he's probably talking to some reparations type of thing. His family probably does deserve it, you know. But I just wanted to show that, you know, because, you know, we always talk about what the white man is doing. The white man is trying to get us, you know, removed and all this type of stuff. But here we are, we removing black images and Native American images from products. But who is still up? Who's still up? Whose faces do we still see? We still see the white folks. But the wokest out there, they're like, yeah, that's a victory for us. Yes, they won't be exploiting black people and everything. But the only faces you see on products now are white folks. Now, I'm not trying to make a racist statement or anything, and I'm not trying to say that, oh, you know, they need to get rid of the white folks too. But there was no reason for them to get rid of the image of Aunt Jemima or Uncle Ben's or the Land O'Lakes lady or any of the rest of them. There was no reason for them to do that. They only did that because they wanted to be politically correct. But once again, critical thinking didn't burn into their brain. And that cream of wheat guy, that was my man. Matter of fact, I kind of look like that cream of wheat guy. You know, put that chef's hat on and, you know, have me, you know. I might try that one day. I might dress up as a cream of wheat man. You know, Halloween is coming up. Maybe I can dress up like him for Halloween. Nah, I don't do Halloween, but, you know. But maybe one day I can dress up like the cream of wheat guy and take my picture. And, you know, hey, he still lives, y'all. But anyway, I'm just being foolish right now. I'm just being silly. But you know what? When you get to talking about stuff like this, when you get to speaking truth and saying what people need to hear, it kind of causes the fruit bats to start flying from their caves. Folks, that's the fruit bat alert. That means I'm going to the phones, which means let me give you this warning, give you this, I guess you can call it a disclaimer or whatever. If you're coming on this show to cause trouble, trolling, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, excessive profanity, gaslighting, I will tell you right now, you best hang up, because if you still want to come on the show and you want to engage in those activities, I will be happy to oblige you. Okay. Like I said, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. When you come on here, show some respect. Okay. We're all adults here. Okay. We're not always going to agree 100%, you know. So, but anyway, having said all that, let me go to the phones. And I think this is Pianki.
Hey, Vincent, what's going on? Wait, hang on for a second.
Okay, go ahead. Fly, fruit bat, fly.
Man,
wait a minute, I think I hear them. I think I hear them right now.
They've been waiting.
There they go. Oh, man. The fruit bat's been sent here by Pianki.
Well, you talking about some... And they just go bonkers when they hear your voice, man. They really do.
And it's Halloween,
but
too.
You know,
oh, my goodness.
I was just looking at that story on Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul. And the news showed the house. Is that a house? Or is that a museum or some sort of public structure?
That's what National... I'm saying. How where did that guy break in there? Just, you know.
Yeah.
And they said he was dressing in skivvies.
Yeah, he's in his damn drawers. He's probably trafficked it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The old man was probably trying to booger him.
Man.
I mean, think about it. Think about it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He asked, where is Nancy? How you walk down the street? Well, I guess you can in San Francisco. But where is his pants at? I bet if they look further for his pants, they're probably up in the bedroom.
Oh, my gosh.
And don't they say that the Jeffrey Epstein list runs long and wide?
Yep.
Or is it narrow?
I think they say long and wide. Yeah.
Is Paul Pelosi's name on that list?
Could be.
And all these busloads that was being brought in during the Obama administration, what happened to all them kids and young adults? You know, we have to, when we see the evidence of something quite obvious and that's talked about, we cannot neglect. Anybody could be a Weinstein. Oprah Winfrey suggested that young women aspiring to be actresses go pay Harvey a visit. He probably can help you. And when they turned and walked away from her, she popped out her phone and said, Harvey, another one is coming. And besides that, you think this young man was inflicted by the commands of Maxine Waters, her broad emboldenment, telling and giving instructions on what the radical left was supposed to do when they see a MAGA at the filling station? They seen a MAGA at the store. They seen a MAGA in the restaurant. Get up in their face.
Cause a scene.
Why come she? Yeah. And who was to criticize? You know, I see people talking about that the right, the radical right, is making it dangerous. Well, where was this said about when everybody, the radical left, was picketing and camping out on the lines of Supreme Court justices?
Yep.
Where was all the complaints then?
Yeah,
from this
exactly.
Group?
Yep.
Man, I just don't understand
But I kind of know what's going on. It's two things going on. We got the midterms going on, and of course we heard the news of that that canvasser for Marco Rubio getting attacked earlier this week, and they beat that man down. Did you see
He might
have to have reconstructive surgery.
You're absolutely right. I tell you what, here's the thing that's associated with that. First, they say he couldn't continue going where he is. He's walking on the sidewalk. And guess what he tried to do? He stepped out in the street to go around. What did that remind you of?
Yeah.
He stepped off the sidewalk to go around. What did that remind you of?
Yep.
That remind me of Alabama.
Yep.
These Democrats is after him. They said he couldn't go because he's a Republican, so that means they're Democrats. And who was behind all that racist stuff down in the South when blacks had to step off the sidewalk to let a white woman? That was Democrats that put that stuff
in place.
Those
were Democrats.
And you see a DNA reenactment in these two that jumped on this young man. And not only that, after they beat him, and what else did they do? They put their foot on his neck. What did that remind you of, Vincent?
I don't know. It sounds like something that happened sort of recently.
Absolutely.
What's that
and
guy's
name? And the
fur
to throw gasoline on the fly. Fire. What else happened, Vincent? The one guy that went to his car, Casanova, went to his car and got his dogs and brought them over to the man laying there on the sidewalk, helpless, and said, sick him. Sick him. Vincent, what did that remind you of? Birmingham, Alabama. Birmingham, Alabama.
But, no, don't do that to black people, though. Now here's the thing. Our folks at The Root, our buddies at The Root, those of you all who don't know what The Root is, they got a they have a site, and The Root is a bunch of black racists, basically. They call themselves journalists, but they're committed to hating white people.
Is that newspaper? Newspaper is owned by whites, by the chant, by way.
Yeah. And they got a I guess you call it a tributary site called Jezebel. And on that site, they said that the man who was attacked was a known white supremacist. They said he was a known white supremacist. Now, this is the only place that I heard that on that site. I said, you guys got to be kidding me. And the guy looks as Hispanic as he can get.
He was Hispanic.
Now, you're talking about a Hispanic guy who's supporting another Hispanic guy, but he's a white supremacist? Come on now. Come on.
Let me tell you something. Them Negroes lie. I always remember this. These racist blacks, they lie.
they deny, and they evade.
I'm telling you.
I always remember that. Lie, deny, and evade. Now, when you listen to them and you watch them, look for those three elements. Look for those three elements that they always resort to. They resort to the lying about every damn thing, especially about history.
Yeah.
And they 16, 19 projects. They they deny. Oh, well, no, no, that didn't happen. And they evade.
Yep.
They evade. Like they say, well, white folks do it too. Look at Appalachia. That's evasion. Evasion of the point of the fact that in 1 year's time in Chicago from Memorial 2021 to 2022, you had 4,666 blacks shot by other blacks with 643 murdered. And the year before that, 4,875 was 746 murdered. These blacks doing that stuff, man.
Yep.
No white shot nobody. No white police shot nobody. All them opportunities. You mean to tell me not one racist cop, white cop, could shot somebody? Now, cops got shot sitting in their car trying to catch up on their reports.
Yep.
Coming out of restaurants. Cops got shot. These idiots are getting pretty bold, ain't they?
Oh yeah,
and to put ice and for another cold glass of water. Since Memorial Day 2022, you don't had 1,863 shot with 266 murdered. Once again, no white shot nobody.
But that doesn't make news though.
Oh. No, it don't make news. Then you got people that's out there, reporters out there talking against permitless carry. This young man that was trying to express his First Amendment and get canvas and getting petition signed, what if he had been carrying? I'm telling you, you cannot walk around these people in their neighborhoods if you ain't protecting yourself. If you're not willing
That's
to do
true.
That, you need to go get you a new damn job because you're putting your life at stake.
That's true. That's true. And I like the intensity in your voice because basically what you're saying is it may be irresponsible for you not to own a gun in this time and place. And, you know, that's one thing I'm looking maybe within the next 2 years to have my permit and whatever, which I don't agree with having a permit. I really don't. People can say whatever they want to. I don't agree with having a permit. I believe everybody has a right to arm themselves, to defend themselves, and the law in the First Amendment about owning a firearm, that is a federal law, and I really don't think the states need to come in and give their own take on that. That is a federal law. The only things the states need to take care of is what's not listed in the Constitution, according to, I think it's the 14th Amendment. No, not the 14th Amendment. I forget which it is, but
10th Amendment.
The 10th Amendment. Thank you. Thank you. And if it's a federal law, I don't think the state should
You have an inalienable right to protect yourself.
Exactly.
You know who gave you that inalienable right?
God.
Say it, Vincent. Say it again, Vincent.
There you go.
Say
God
it again.
Gave you that right. God gave you
not
that
only
right
you, it gave
yourself.
Every living species the right to perfect it. Even the ants have that right. The birds
exactly.
have that right. Lions and tigers and bears, oh, they got that right too.
I know that's right. Yes, sir. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
You go there. Then you got this gatekeeper that at one time was one of the biggest racists that is, Astawana Brawler. Oh, I gave away his name.
Oh,
Al Sharpton, who's going to attack Herschel Walker.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
saying he's a disgrace.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of stuff that he thinks he's the purveyor for all people whose skin is not lily white.
Yeah, yeah. Speak for yourself, dude.
Mr. Sharpton, your people is your action network. Please remember that.
I
do not
the email.
Subscribe for you to speak for me. if the people of Georgia wants to vote for Herschel Walker, Herschel Walker has a right to run for a government position.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Don't say something about his speech. He's from the South. They got a beautiful accent down in the South.
Yes, thank you.
You're damn right he does. He speaks better than Fetterman, whose wife, by the way, came to the United States at the age of 7 illegally. And she going to make comments talking about swimming in the United States is racist. Huh?
Don't even get me started on that one. Oh, gosh. Don't even get me started on that one. I saw the email that you sent me about that, about Al Sharpton criticizing Herschel Walker. And I don't know who it was. Someone responded to you and said, I can't believe you gave money to this buffoon. He
misspelled
buffoon.
Some fool I know who's paralyzed from the waist down, came back from Vietnam, had that car accident. But he's cool, though. But you know they talk about who was for defunding the police. That damn Pelosi. And damn, she gets her husband to get his damn head beat in, probably filling on this man. That's probably, I'm just saying. But, you know, most criminals don't walk down the street with nothing but their underwear when they're going to commit a crime.
Exactly. How many people seen him walking down the street in his skivvies? How many people? San Francisco is a pretty big city, and, you know, he walking down the street, breaking through the Pelosi's home, and somebody must have seen him say, wait a minute, why is that man walking in this Fruit of the Looms?
And the weapon of choice, seemingly, in San Francisco, especially with the employees of Coinbase and Kraken, two of the largest crypto exchanges in the nation, they fear the attacker with a hypodermic needle, threatening to stick them if you don't give me your money. Yep. Those employees coming from their parking spots on the parking lot have to travel to get to the front door entrance of where they're working. And that is most of the perliest times of their life, that little short distance, with all these folks sleeping on the sidewalk, walking around with needles threatening to stick people. They don't even have to have guns.
Yeah.
They're just terrorizing these folks. And this is in Pelosi's district.
Yep, but she don't seem to care.
Maxine Waters telling people that she's driving down the street, and I guess in a limousine, and see people gathered complaining. She walks up to them and gets into an argument and ultimately tells them to go back home under the bridge. They homeless, lady said. We homeless.
Yeah, we homeless. How are we going to go home?
He's a damn fool, man.
Yeah, these folks, they, and I tell people that's who you voted for. Let me get these next two callers on here.
Yeah, bring on the premieres, will you?
Yeah. Hello, welcome to the show. Uh-oh. I'm not getting a response. Hello, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I had myself on mute, man, because I didn't want to interrupt Bianchi's train of thought there. It's the 1-2 punch. Bianchi did the left jab. I'm about to throw this right hook. What's up, man?
What's
hey,
up now?
Sarge, man. It's always good to hear you. I know you out there someplace, Sarge.
Huh?
I say I know you out there someplace. It's always good
to
hear.
I'm out there, brother, and I'm so excited. I mean, I ain't been this excited. Well, let me not go in there because that's kind of personal. But I'm excited. Look at here, man. I appreciate you making them kind words about how to have a show, but TV show and all that. But man, if I had a TV show and these fruit back crazy progressive Democrats, well, especially these crazy women, could see how fine I am, I'd have to beat them off with a switch and fly swatters, all them fruit bats flying around my head. So I don't know if I can do that.
I know that's right.
But look here, man. Here's the thing. We need to find a name for this era we're going through right now, this political season we're about to have. You know, they got the Victorian era. There was the Roman era. There's, you know, all kind of epochs throughout history have names for them. We need to, when this November 8th election occurs, and there's going to be a, what I hope will be an extinction-level event for the Democrat Party and progressivism in general in the United States. This is what I'm hoping for. We're going to have a name for it. And I want y'all to do what you can to think of a name suitable for this extermination-level event that's probably coming up with the Democrat Party. And why do I say that, Brother Vince and Brother Bianchi? I'll tell you why. Because the signs are everywhere that it is true. And why do I know that is so? And what are the manifestations of it? The manifestations of it are the rats themselves. You know how cornered rats are when they're cornered, how vicious they can be? You know how cornered wild beasts are, how vicious they can be? Well, these rats, they ain't disappointing. Man, you got people out there saying, like, look at Fetterneck out there in Pennsylvania. Fetterneck is calling Republican voters racist. And racism has always been a part of the Republican base. Even though the Democrat Party is a party that assassinated Abraham Lincoln, they're the party that the Ku Klux Klan, the party of Jim Crow, the party of segregation, the party voted against the Civil Rights Bill. Nonetheless, these desperate rats, desperate to hang on to fanatical black women who are just determined to vote for Democrats no matter what, and many black men, you know, that none of that, that they're going to try to convince them that it's actually the Republicans who switched sides under Nixon, that they're actually the racists. You got people out there like a Democrat from Pennsylvania. What's this guy's name? Oh, man, I can't think of his name right now. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She tells MSNBC's Hayes that white nationalism threatens Americans with fascism and return to apartheid. Another rat. This woman used to play the counselor on Star Trek. She getting off Twitter because Elon Musk bought Twitter and is going to bring free speech back to Twitter. You got, I got 7 minutes of rats saying they want to defund the police. I'm talking about prominent rats or rats in the cities where they defunded it and crime skyrocketed out of control, and these Democrats are insisting they never said they want to defund the police. Crazy ones like Cori Bush. Crazy ones like Ilhan Omar. Lunatics like these people in the Portland City Council and out there in Seattle and everywhere else. We got Democratic Representative Escobar down there in Texas saying, we've got virtually all of Trump border policies kept in place in the Biden administration, and the things are only worse because of the Republican Party. I mean, everywhere you look, these rats are not only in denial, they are literally creating alternate universes of fact and history. Everywhere you look, it reveals their desperation. They know they're headed down for the count. Why, look at this thing with this attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband. The attacker is a gentleman named David DePape, okay? I'm not sure I'm pronouncing the last name right, but it's spelled.
Uh-oh, did we lose him? Y'all still there?
Well, you know, the fruit bats get to flying too close to the wires and short things out.
Yeah, they short it out. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Where is the other buddy at?
He's here. I got him over in Iredale. You there?
Bring him on in here. Come on in here and let's see that suit you got on. See how it fits.
I got him. I got his line open. I don't know why I don't hear from him.
Come on in there, Mr. Irondale. We want to take a look at you, man. All decked out. Let's see them Stacey Adams you got on, Irondale.
Man, Sarge was about to hit his stride. You know, I don't know. Maybe somebody's saying, "Nah, we can't listen to this rascal anymore." But he wants a name for this. For this era that we're living in, I say call it the era of the red tide.
That's what they want to do. Absolutely. I'm looking at this other article here. 324,000 U.S. blacks killed by blacks in only 35 years. Did they say white? And you know, you're right when you talk about that shooter in St. Louis. Man, you have to go all, you got to go into the archives to find out what the color of his skin was.
Well,
but
so,
I knew, because
well,
I know
I've never seen him. I've never
he's
seen
black.
Him. I have
nah.
Not. See, that's what I'm
he's
saying.
He's black. But in all fairness, he's had some, it's a sad case with him. The way he was brought up and so on and so on. But the thing is that was over in South St. Louis. My high school used to play the school name was Southwest. And because of the closing of schools in the North St. Louis, because blacks is fleeing, or they ain't have no babies. So they just moved those things to the schools in South St. Louis, which was usually about 95% white. Well, whites started moving out. When the politics started pushing the blacks from North St. Louis, where the houses were depleted and condemnation existed all over the place. Well, I guess they had to have some place to stay. And they started moving in South St. Louis through different programs, like first-time homeowners, buyers, home buyers, rebates, where the owner of the house, a white person, would get up front X number of dollar rebate for making their house available. And, of course, it would help those that was moving in, blacks, into the area. But as time has went by, I guess, since 2000, that community is just about had it.
Oh, wow. Mm. Yeah, I knew you would know something about that.
You do have some groups that's doing well because the politics placed 80,000 Bosnians in South St. Louis, and they seemingly do very well. There are some African groups in South St. Louis, Somali, Gambian, and so on. They do very well.
They do very well.
It's this other group that seems to be having so much problems. And the crime come along with them that has devastated North St. Louis City.
That's sad. I don't know why I can't get either Sarge or Iredale on. I have their lines open, but I don't know why they can't get through. Let me try this. If y'all muted, check to see if y'all muted, because Sarge was about to hit the stride there, boy. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. I'm about to sit back and start chomping on some popcorn, boy. Y'all there? Sarge, Iredale? I don't know what the problem is because both their lines are open. Maybe that's something, I don't know. Maybe something Blog Talk Radio is doing. I don't know. Something going on here. But, like I said last week, and it bears repeating. It really does bear repeating what I was talking about earlier about the fair that I went to last week. You know, everybody's having a good time, and you look around, and you're seeing all these different groups of people, you know, sitting down, enjoying themselves, eating expensive food. You know, it costs $18 to get a doggone turkey leg now. Man, it
was
that long ago, $5. Yeah, at the fair. But see, the thing about it, it might be worth that because you don't ever see turkey legs this big until you go to the fair. I never see them that big. And my wife, she likes to go there, and she likes to get a turkey leg every year. And, you know, she kind of goes there with trepidation because she's like, how much is it going to be this year? And I actually went there, and I actually had me a rattlesnake corn dog.
Well, I tell you.
Oh, rattlesnake corn dog, and it is what just what it says. It's a corn dog made of rattlesnake, and that thing was pretty good. It was pretty good.
I would have rather left the corn off and had the rattlesnake in some preparation form.
And two, when you tell them, you say, yeah, give me the venom sauce too. And it's a green sauce made out of avocados and some type of spice. It's not real spicy, but it looked almost like he was pouring venom onto the corn dog. And, you know, you're sitting there like, I don't know, maybe I need to rethink this. But it was good.
Yeah,
that
sounds pretty rough, man. That's you the man. You all over the place.
Well, the only reason why I knew about it was one of my coworkers. He had gone to the fair a few days earlier, and he said, man, I had a rattlesnake corn dog. I said, what? He said, yeah, they got a rattlesnake corn dog, man. It's made out of rattlesnake. He said, man, it don't taste like what you might think it does, but you're not going to spit it out or anything. I said, I might try that.
I wonder what you would think it would taste like.
I don't know. Maybe salmon or something like that. That's what I thought it would taste like, a little bit like salmon. But they say they mix it with a little rabbit meat, and they bake it in Chardonnay wine to get rid of the gamey taste out of it, you know. And it wasn't gamey at all. Yeah, it wasn't gamey at all. And I was like, oh, okay, this is pretty good. It's not something that I'd be like, yeah. Y'all got to try this rattlesnake corn dog, you know. I'm like, you know, it's an acquired taste. I said, I like it, you know, but I'll tell anybody if they were to ask me, I'll say, yeah, go ahead and try it, you know, just try it, you know, whatever. Because a lot of stuff at the fair, they got the deep fried Twinkies and the deep fried Oreos and the deep fried pickles. And I had a deep fried Snicker bar one year. And I was like, it's okay, but it's not nothing I will write home about. But, you know, getting back to my original point, I was, you know, I was amazed. I was just marveling at the different diversity that you saw at the fair. And I'm like, now, if America is a racist country, if America is a systemically racist country, I wouldn't be able to see what I saw at the fair last Saturday. Because there was a time where black people could not go to an event like that. You know, it'll be mostly white faces. Yeah. I mean, we remember Martin Luther King talking about his child going to Funland or something. Yeah. So, but you look at it and you're like, wow, you know, look at all these different faces. You see a lot of mixed couples. I've seen some white folks who had black children with them, and you saw the Indian folks. The Indian folks were dressed in their Hindu garb and everything, and you just saw a whole multitude of different people out there, and everybody was just having a good time. They were having a collective good time, and I'm sitting there like, so where is the systemic racism that they talk about? You know, like what's his name, Ibrahim X Kendi or whatever his name is. Sometimes I don't think these people even leave their homes. I don't think they even get out and enjoy life or anything like that. And that's probably why they think the way they do. You know, I mean, go to the mall, same thing, you know. White folks pay the same thing the black folks do for items, you know. So where's the systemic racism? I mean, someone please.
Yeah.
You know.
What's that lady's name? They call her a goat. Sabrina Williams, she's got a white husband.
Yeah. And,
right.
You know,
so what do you call her kid? And what is this definition for black? Can you tell me? Please, I need somebody to help me. What is the heck? What is black?
I mean,
is it the politics?
It's got to be the politics, because I don't know why anyone who has a black mother and a white father and vice versa would sit there and say, yeah, I'm black. I'm black. Really? You know, I don't know if you all ever heard of this, this gal. She's like 22 years old. Amala Ekwunobi. She's half Nigerian and half white. Her mother was white. Her father was black. And she does the Prager University videos from time to time, you know, and you can tell she's mixed and everything. And she said one of the things that got her thinking, because she said she used to be a voice for the left, and she got to thinking that when people said that white people hate black people and everything, she was like, well, so am I supposed to deny the white part of myself because my mother is white? And, you know, that just caused her to open her eyes, and she's got a YouTube channel, Amala Ekpenobi, and she's good. For a 22-year-old girl to speak like she does, I'm like, wow, are you kidding me? You know, and it's just like you said, who gets to define what is white and what is black? You know, I mean, I look at these black Hebrew Israelites, these suckers you see on the streets, and they dressed in their purple and everything, and they out there yelling the Bible at people and saying, you know, Jesus was a black man and all this crazy mess. And most of these guys are light skinned. And I'm like, wait a minute now. Now you say Jesus was a black man. Yeah. You sitting there saying Jesus was a black man, and you're talking about, you know, the black people are going to rise up against the white people, and they're going to enslave the white people at the end of time and everything. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, well, someone mixed a little cream and sugar with your coffee. Because, dude, you can't really say that you're 100% black. You know, I mean,
yeah, you know,
so what
and
do you
then
do
you
about
go,
that white party?
Then you say it's the politics. But Detroit, 380-some-odd thousand people, the city is 80-some-odd percent black, they voted for a white mayor. He's a Democrat.
Exactly.
So I guess that's the politics. I guess that's the politics. Tim Scott is black. They ride him to death, criticize him. He's a Republican.
Exactly.
So I thought it was the skin. You want people... We need to have more blacks in places, in high places. Can you get back? Can you get them guys on?
Yeah, I think Sarge is back on. Let me see if he is. Let's see.
Man, I think the fruit bat sabotaged my internet, man. I don't know where I got cut off at.
I don't know, but you were hitting your stride, though. You were getting your second win.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, man, I'm excited. I mean, I have been waiting for decades for an extinction-level event for the Democrat Party and progressivism in general. The people are awakening, Vince and Bianchi.
Yes.
The people are awakening to the fact that they have been lied to in plain sight. They've been lied to about the fact that the reason they're paying more for everything is because of Donald Trump and his policies. It's not because of the deliberate policies of the Democrats, particularly with regard to energy and the twin whammy of the COVID shutdowns, which was largely Democrat policies in blue states, at least for the length that it occurred. Yes, it occurred in red states, the shutdowns with the COVID, but certainly not in the main for the duration that it did in the blue states, which was crippling not only to the economy, not only to job prospects, but to children who suffered from these lockdowns in school. I mean, we are witnessing maybe the loss of the educational prospects of a generation of children because of these idiotic policies promoted by the leftist teachers unions and the baleful effects it had on their development, even when it comes to speech with very young children who need to see people's mouths moving in order to form proper words or understand how to use words and how to use words with regard to emotions. It is stifling to that development. That's not all. It's got to do with the deliberate policies involving law enforcement and crime, which has led to chaos in these blue states. When you've got an idiot moron of a chief executive of a major state, an abysmal bimbo simpleton named Catherine Hochul, who has the nerve to ask in a debate, why is Lee Zeldin concerned about the fact that violent criminals get let out on bail who don't show a tendency and a propensity to reoffend, and they can't put the cash bail up. She had the nerve to ask him, why is he concerned about this? If that shouldn't be the death knell for this woman and all the others in the Democrat Party who think like her,
yeah,
then nothing else will be, because the primary, most important function of our government, our notion of government, is that our executives will, number one, respect our liberties and our rights, and corresponding to and generally equal to, depends upon the situation, what you're talking about, is the need to maintain civil order. Without civil order, there can't even be commerce that you can rely upon. Without a civil order and the perception of security, people don't want to interact with each other. They don't want to leave the house. And this fool, I mean, this absolute, I don't know any other way to put it. Her primary responsibility and duty, she abnegated right there on the stage.
So
and these Democrats all throughout the country are doing the same. They are revealing what they are. The mask is off. They hate you. They hate this country. They hate this republic. They hate its history. They hate its traditions. Mm-hmm. They hate most of its people, or at the very least, hold them in contempt. Man, I'm
so,
telling you, man, if we don't get rid of them now, we never. They are dangerous. When they're, like I said, like the cornered beast, wild beast, when they are losing and they're about to go out of power, they represent probably their greatest threat. But we're going to have to endure that if that's what it takes to get rid of their influence in American politics. And maybe if we can't exterminate the Democratic Party, politically I'm speaking, we can restore it to at least the semblance of sanity that it had under people like John F. Kennedy. That's what I'm hoping for, if we can't just outright get rid of it.
Yeah. And, Pianchi, did you bring your hat today?
I never take it off. I sleep in it.
Oh, okay.
I shower in it. I eat it.
Well, you know why I told you to bring your hat today, right? We need to take up an offering for Sarge, because he's over here preaching.
Man, I swear, man, I'm telling you, man, I'm excited. I mean, I could say some risque things about my excitement right now, but I shall hold it in abeyance because I'm just that excited. Yes, I'm excited at the prospect of beginning the long road to ridding this nation of the baleful influence of liberalism and progressivism. So nobody will ever say again that it is good public policy for school boards to endorse drag shows for children and to sexually mutilate them without even the knowledge or consent of their parents. For God's sake, what will it take to get rid of these people?
There's some dumbasses out there, like Fetterman's wife, say that swimming is racist in America. Up there in the Seattle public schools, they say math is racist. Down there in Los Angeles, they say, once again, math is racist. So in Oregon, you don't have to show that you can do math to graduate from the school because it's racist. This is the most dumbest damn bunch of idiots I've ever seen.
The Secretary of Transportation thinks highways and roads and bridges are racist, okay?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, everything is racist.
The Secretary of Transportation of the United States, a cabinet-level official. And we got another one up there who thinks that energy, the energy secretary thinks that energy is harmful to the United States, that made the country great, that enables our prosperity, that enables many of us to even live, being able to eat, that is, and to heat our homes at 20 below 0 degree weather. She thinks such a thing is harmful to the United States. Energy at the bedrock of all industry and life, modern life as we know it in the United States. And then they want to put us on a system of energy that is unreliable, and simply lacks the energy density to propel heavy industry or heavy agriculture. It is simply impossible given current levels of technology. But then they don't know anything. They're a bunch of There are a bunch of people who have been raised in hot houses of ivy-covered North Koreas where everybody agrees with them, and they talk in echo chambers to everybody who thinks just like them. And they don't know anybody who would have voted for Donald Trump, so he must not be a legitimate president because nobody I know would have voted for him. That's literally the way they think. They are self-absorbed, narcissistic, solipsistic, and they live in their own self-contained universes. And they cannot imagine the lives that most Americans really live.
Exactly. Did you all see the pictures on the internet where they were drawing the anatomy of children, but they drew them without the genitals? I said, now, that's some crazy mess right there. You know, the certain schools, they're drawing pictures without their genitals or anything. They're drawing up with...
Wait a minute. Me one of a doll. They got a transgender doll out now. Looks like a girl.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that, too. Yeah, I've seen that, too.
Hey, man, they're determined. I mean, they are relentlessly determined to try to alter human nature itself. I mean, this is typical of, you know, in the old days, Marxists used to say, we're going to make a new man. Now they're going to create a new I don't know what.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some type of sci-fi anomaly or something like that. You all, I'm going to have to cut it off right
man.
Now.
They want to mutate human beings. Transhumanism is next. That's going to be the next big thing for these people.
Oh, yeah. And y'all, I could go with you all night, but I'm going to have to cut it off right here. I hate that we stole a little bit of Sarge's thunder. I don't know what happened there, why it cut off, because dude was about, he was on DEFCON 5, man.
Well, I got to get these fruit bats back in. I don't know how I'm going to do that right now.
I'm just saying, man, I'm excited. I ain't been this excited in years, man. I swear to God, I'm excited at the prospect of beginning the long road back from ridding ourselves of this baleful influence on this country. 60 years of it, at least, we've had to put up with it. And now, finally, the scales are falling from people's eyes because they've assumed too much power. They can no longer hide what they are. It's self-evident for everyone to see. Now, some people want it, but most of us don't. And I think we're going to show it at the polls.
And I certainly hope so. Hey, thank you guys for coming on. I really appreciate it. I need to make an announcement. Next week, I won't be having a show because next week is my anniversary. Anniversary weekend, and I'm going to have to take the wife out to, you know, probably take her out to shop or eat or whatever. So next week I won't be having a show. So I'll just let you all know that ahead of time. And you all keep speaking up for the truth. Keep speaking for the truth because, you know, we need what we don't have in this country. We don't have a lot of people who are willing to speak up for the truth because the truth, you know, it cramps a lot of people's style and everything. But anyway, I'll see you all the second weekend in November, and you all take care of yourselves. Stay safe out there. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off, and until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. You all have a great Saturday.